Thank you. No, you first. S23. Probably they go and then they come in.
No, that's for Friday.
Oh, this is for Friday.
This is for Friday.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah, okay. They can.
we haven't heard from her for some time. We think that now we're talking to Kennedy because she was really nagging, because she was really suffering financially. The fact that she's no longer communicating, we think that Kennedy has made this because they have made an undertaking to go on. We only have asked, we also have asked for a back date amounting to several years. Going to do also. So, yes. I must tell you that the presenter before this committee was a DA. So we are not party political
either.
I'm just joking. We serve in another committee that is by law not supposed to be party political. So, looks like Parliament class the two of us that when issues are before us, we look at the interest of our people and what's irrespective of what their political idea. So we acceded to that and that was done. The Magistrate Court Amendment Bill was also by, who had proposed this bill?
Okay, Jupi.
You are overloading us. He has requested that the sheriff should no longer have a legal right to attach people's houses because a house is a constitutional right, especially with the only property in which people live for death. And we called the department and the sheriff called them, had a number of meetings, and then we made certain recommendations that we think have been taken on board because we discovered that the Department of Justice was also doing some work in relation to that, so we asked them to take them into consideration and let it be attended. The same thing. Well, what happened to the issue of the advocate and what was it? Or when I was thinking of so, as you can see, the Legislative Court thing took us a number of meetings because we had continued to have us to get out of all this. We finally concluded this. In August, just before us for 5 months. And then we had a petition from Brigadier Tusha. Bulela, can you remind me of the details? Essentially, we wanted this disabled child to be a beneficiary in a way that not within the current regulation. But we had received a certain amount of pension, which also still benefiting today, and that the disabled child is benefiting an income of his own. And then we considered everything, we declined the petition. We took advantage of that also to call MPMDA, the former combatant of liberation, so to understand the applied MPMDA. And gave us the opportunity to call on Treasury and also to look into the swelling discontent in their ranks and to open up a discussion with them. Because we, at some point when we were doing this, we put in focus on the fact that there were ex-combatants who were camping somewhere and we felt that could be a dangerous situation they must be addressed. So we returned that one. The 15th Constitution 91 is the slow process. We have deferred that until the policy conference of the ruling party. We have succeeded in putting it squarely on the table of the ruling party for policy conference. So it was on our initiative that in the amount of attention that we see in the media. So we deal with it after the ruling party. We also put it before the ruling party that electors across the board do not favor flow control. So we have put a report before them because we did a mini survey of what the electricity is like about it. And then, the system amendment bill, which one is it? What is it?
This one.
Civil union. Civil union.
Oh, the civil union secretary. They were seeking to include in the constitution a last clause that was going to say a marriage is only between a man and a woman. And we found that to be in contrast with the purpose of the constitution. And we designed it. We also called Woman Fire the Metaphor Game. So we designed that proposal. Then, in the old youth, you were not yet done, brother.
No.
There was a procedural keeper before us, and we realized that it was not forwarded to the committee through the correct channel of Parliament. So we sent it there. We are looking to see it there. Okay. Is that all, brother?
No, the list is evident.
Okay. We have just considered in your question the South African Code S1 and the Electoral Act Amendment Bill, which actually there was. It created a wrong impression that it was proposing a review of the electoral act, whereas it was dealing with government advertisement during the period of election. We have also, together with the proposal, reached an amicable agreement that it doesn't really need sexual law legislation. It needs regulations and that the African regulations in this case. But we have agreed that it is based in the House, the important system. We approved the Lotteries Act also in the day last week when we go. So I'm supposing that on Friday we called two presenters. The one on victims of violence, as well as this one, brother. No. Public Finance Management Act. We would have taken the labor relations one, but the proposal is abroad. So we want to make it for Friday. So I'm proposing to the committee that on Friday we have met before us two proposals. Mr. Tren, is it Mr. Tren? And who else? Mr. Loco, well, we tend to do that most of the time, but sometimes, like the one of Brigadier Cricket, we took ahead of others because we were being on humanitarian ground in the United States. But also sometimes there are irregularities in terms of the process of presentation before the committee. Then the one that is before us, which we intend to be, needs to be sent back for the stamp of the speakers of the processing them. Then, so we try by all means to adhere to come, first come, first serve. But it's not always possible.
But one more thing about serious, one of the other was, so a week earlier, that's when I'm equipped.
I also depend a lot on the staff because sometimes they receive things electronically before others. So what is in paper sometimes is not. So in terms of what they are advised, actually that is one. But after the other one in terms of what they have. So I don't know if are we correcting
now? No,
we are eight.
One.
Do you count me?
Yes.
No, Bud, you want to see this COVID?
Excuse me, so
I would like to provide a good firm, Steve Carvin, in the Public Accounts Committee, and he's on his way as well. And you should be here anytime.
No, that's fine. Thank you. We are sorry. We know why you are late. Thank you still for explaining. Do you agree with my proposal that in terms of the format, we explain below every issue what it entails, and that we also add a column explaining what the decision was, so that this format can be very helpful to everybody that comes across it. But only for now, the way it is, it will only be committee members who knows what the proposals entail and what the decisions were made are. Do you agree?
Okay.
So we will address with those amendments. Order will go. Will you text me to? Yes, right. Will you text me what the amendments are made to sign it without you seeing it once you agree in terms of the allotment and then for the amendments?
Thank you, sir. I'm not comfortable with this issue of cancelled meetings.
Mm.
And the reasons that you gave for this, like procedural irregularities, I think they put the committee in a very bad light. And also on this issue of the vision. The vision as it is now, I think it does explain the mandate of the committee.
Mm.
Because I think the vision is where we want to go. I think if we can rework the vision. And I also looked at the issue of the finances. We are really underspending. Maybe Chairperson...
We are overspending.
When I read, we spent 12,000 according to what is in the report, out of 200,000.
Okay, I'll explain.
Yes, you will.
I agree with you. I agree with you that we must send the mission to the mandate, constitutionally. And I always prefer to emphasize that this is a constitutional committee. You know, all other, there are only two constitutional committees in Parliament. It's the one on intelligence, if my memory serves me well, and this one. So if you, for me, that's very heavy. It calls on our conscience to behave in a particular way, to put it forward that it is a constitutional committee. It also puts some weight for us to bully Parliament a bit in terms of assisting us to do our work. So I would like us to have that clarification somewhere in the mandate of the committee, that it is a constitutional committee, and then that we intend that mandate to not, it's not a vision as you are saying, it's a mandate. This issue of cancellation of meetings, I don't know how we will call it. We can just say that, I don't know how we will put it in such a way that it doesn't put us in a bad light, but I've had battles with Mr. Doyle on this issue that we can, it creates an impression that we cancel meetings really, really, when we don't like to work. So we will have to redraft it to say that we can just say rethink for proper channels or whatever. Maybe we must ask Mr. Mabwanisa to rephrase it for us later on and in a better light that does not create an impression that we can't see anything really mean. In terms of the budget, we had used money thriftily because we were going abroad. And in terms of our Indian trip, we had actually overspent by 40,000. The money are already committed and we'll need to go and correct this, because we went 40,000 rand above the budget. So in this financial year, we have already encroached 40,000 rand into it. Why we have not reflected that we have
spend the money by the Indians because tickets are already, are they paid for that?
Yeah.
Tickets are paid for and everything. So we have actually overspent the previous budget by 40,000 rand. I had as chairperson to write a letter to the powers that we are aware that we are overspending by 40%. We are one of the rare committees actually that have overspent in the last financial budget. Now, this reminds us, Zodo, that in the current budget, we need to do, as we have planned, provincial visits, which will cost quite a lot. We also need to undertake an international trip in this financial year with a different set of people. I don't like these committees where you find every time the same people going. And in this committee, I would like to set a plan for Parliament because I'm the one that has been saying, I don't understand why chairperson must always be leading committees. In this coming financial year's international, I want to beg you to allow the chairperson not to go. No, man, you even never hate
communism.
No, you know what? I have always been saying I don't understand why the chairperson of a committee must always be part of international delegations. I think we are all adults and we are all responsible. Maybe it's an issue that one discussion at another time. But I'm seriously, even with the Indian one, I had connived with the staff that at the last minute, I was going to pull out of the trip and to replace my name with somebody else. Because I don't see why can't we trust members of parliament to go on an international trip alone without the chairperson. But I was forced to go on the Indian one, and I am submitting to the committee that in the next trip, the chairperson does not have to go because it creates space for more people to learn. I must also tell you that I do a lot of traveling for the ruling party. So for me, I know it's not related to weight, but it is related to weight because actually I represent the ruling party in a lot of trips when I do work with the office of the president, with Mrs. Mbeki, who is located in the office of the president. So for me, it's just selfish and totally impossible to go on all the trips because firstly, your body needs to rest. Secondly, your weight left behind as a chairperson on also political if you are forever overseas. So I want to propose that we should plan for the international trip as early as possible in this financial year. And I want to submit before the committee that whereas I will assist in the planning and everything and everything, I would prefer not to go. I think we can set a trend for committees of parliament. It's not written anywhere in the rules that a chairperson should always lead the team. It's not written anywhere. That's a custom. But that's okay for now. So I hope that explains the understanding.
Chairperson, what I'm not happy with, Justice undertook a trip last year and we spent about 1.5 million. So for us to say we'll encroach in our next budget, I don't think it is acceptable. Because if the committee that can spend 1.5 million and we just spend less than 300,000, I think we're treating ourselves unfairly. And the suggestion that you have raised about an international trip, I think it's a good one. But we will discuss we'll agree to your where they are going or not going when. You know where we're going to.
Okay. Is that that I've already made an undertaking that it's okay if we encroach into the next budget? Because I knew that we can over increase our budget with 40,000 rand to cover back what could be seen as an over expenditure. So, but I will also bring that to the attention of Mr. Dwight and others. But I don't like to make an undertaking and to retract on it. You know, it's ethically wrong. But for the future, we now know that we don't have to be put in a corner to say that we are overspending. But I think over and above our annual budget, we must put on purposely 40,000 rand to cover the extra cost that we get in the previous financial year. Yes, sir?
I would say just to, on what they say, fiscal prudence in terms of the financial statement. I see the date that stopped 1 April to 30 November. Now, maybe we could amend that. And then also with regard to the balance, it will probably cover the honorable member. Is one to say that overseas visits have been planned, which could not take place, and therefore money would be, with permission, be rolled over.
I
know we don't, but I mean that's all, since we're talking here about our annual report, and I think that reflects the concerns of the honourable member on this.
So can you write that money are already committed, or is it the right financial term to say that the budget is already committed? I don't know. We'll ask for the right
concept. Yeah. Chairperson, I think you should know because of postponement all the time. The money that we paid to us, the delegates that were selected to go, is in the bank. And I don't know, I personally feel for an overseas trip per day is really depriving us, Chairperson. If you work that money that we got for those days that we're going to be there, I think we have to start digging into our own pockets. So I think one should look into that before. I have suggested a date with the secretary as to when we should leave, since you left it there within two of us here. And she will make an announcement of the date. But Chairperson, coming to the allowance, I think one should really, really look into it, and we look forward to you to actually look into that, to say that the money that has been already paid to the delegates will not suffice. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Just to add on that, when these monies were deposited into our account, the rand was stronger.
Yeah.
And we are going to lose much more as members because the rand is weaker.
India,
I think that's because of the second because of the rand.
Yes, and well, I'll do those administrative things with Mr. Doyle's office, etc. But I think it's a matter of principle. In the chairperson forum, where all chairs meet, we have to take up this issue of money that are paid to members when they go overseas. But I don't think it's only this committee that is suffering. It is a thing that I picked up with all committees. So maybe so that we are not thinking selfish, we should also take it up at the level of forum where we all meet to say that it's unfair for members of parliament as well. But also to check whether this thing that how the postponement has adversely affected the delegation in terms of the stipend, but also we'll check if costs are calculated both for the ticket and for accommodation. There might be a need for adjustment for escalated costs, including travel and hotel rates, because we also differ seasonally and also from time to time. So we'll check all those things together as a comprehensive thing. Yes, my email?
Yeah.
Thanks, on the financial statement, Mr. Bakar was proposing that the first April, the date be changed. I want to know whether is this the right date or are they wrong? And if they're wrong, which dates are the right ones? So that we can also change them here on this.
You want to explain it better?
Normally the date is such, if we're doing the report now, if we've done the report in December or in January, obviously that date would have been relevant. But since we are now way past the 31st of March, which is the normal cut-off date, I would suggest that the cut-off date would be the 31st of March 2007.
Yeah.
Just to make
it... The accounts just be adjusted accordingly.
Yes. Yes, so that it falls within the the slot of the financial year accurately, and it doesn't overspill it or.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Just the thought, you see, the exchange rate is a fluctuating rate, wherein the amount of money is a fixed rate. And I think you have to address the whole thing on a much broader basis, so it's always adjusted to the exchange rate, and not just for this one instance. Because as you know, the round had strengthened tremendously, and we were getting the same rate as we got when it was stronger.
And the other thing is also, depending on which country you visit, parliament is inconsistent. If you go to the States, you are normally given a better. And if you go to Africa, whereas you are away from home, so the same number. So maybe we need to have a comprehensive review of the whole thing, taking the exchange rate into consideration, as well as the review of the total review and overhaul of the whole policy. Because it's not about the country you are going to. It's about the fact that you are leaving the comfort of your home to go and do when, in fact, if you go to Africa, you should even be compensated more because you are going to what is, in diplomatic terms, referred to as hardship deployment. So once we have, I'll go and work on something and I'll bring it to the committee for approval as a mandate to take on your behalf to the chairperson's forum. All right, you must forgive me. This phone, I don't know how to switch it off. Sometimes I think that
I will teach you. Right. Unfriendly, user unfriendly.
Now, can we adopt the with those amendments? Can we adopt the unless there is any query, the annual report, Mr. Swart?
Sure. Well, I'm not. I won't move anything. Just a remark on your planned amendment. I think that only when the specific matter is mentioned the first time, you'll put in a paragraph of what it's about. And then after that, not again, not take a better host and send it to Vic's report.
Thank you. Mr. Baker?
I would move adoption of the report.
Thank you. Any seconder? Second. That's done. Now, for Friday, do we agree that, so when we have to do adopt minutes of the committee, for Friday, we might bring up all outstanding minutes for the committee. Okay. Okay. No, you can't edit. Okay. So, on Friday, we will adopt. Okay. Now, do we agree that on Friday, we must call who, What is the issue? It seems to find people.
Yeah,
we can. Okay. Can I request you, Rora, that you present again today to the member speaking of the document again? I'm saying this because I myself am a victim of leaving my document all over. So that we read that. No, we are not saying we did not receive. We did receive. But we are in go and make a pledge, especially for those, whether you give us a whole big document or only those people. I am a victim of using my book. Sometimes I read them and leave them in the office, sometimes get them in the plane.
So do I.
So just give us new documents. Thanks.
Chair, I just want to find out from the Secretary, the issue on the PSFA, which, are we just going to have the presentation by Mr. Chen, or will we have documents in terms of comments from Treasury and also from the AG's office?
Okay.
But have you asked in the meantime for comments from the Auditor General? This is specifically something that deals with the Auditor General. We might say silent, yeah, but it's just, it would assist if we had Mr. Chen now on Friday, which is going to be then if we had the written comments on the agent option, it might have assisted us in interacting with him. You see, then we have the whole package before us. Other than the past, I should have to change the past.
No, it's okay. We'll ask Bill to write to Treasury. No, we have decided to desist from asking them to write to us. We prefer them to appear. So what we'll do, we'll ask Dora tomorrow to notify Treasury already and send them the documents so that they read them and they prepare themselves. If they write, it should be a preliminary writing, but we prefer next Friday to have them before us so that they must not say we have given them short notice. So tomorrow, by tomorrow, they must get a letter and the documents inviting them to next Friday's meeting and informing them that if they so wish, they may, before the Friday meeting, send us a written communique which we will interrogate them on when they appear before us next Friday. We have chosen that. I don't know why, but we that's how we've been working. We've been preferring to have them before us, and we've been preparing to have the first bite with the proposal where we seek to understand the motives and the rationale behind the proposal upfront so that we don't kind of bash them to clap with the department to bash a proposal. So we find it convenient if we are alone, not interrogating, but understanding the underlying process of the proposal alone, and then the second time around we still call the proposal together with the relevant department. But thank you for reminding us to write to Treasury and to infect everybody else that will be affected by the two proposals before us on Friday in good time, and inviting them for next Friday meeting, if that is okay.
Madam Chair, are we down to the agenda?
No, there is
one last thing.
I will come in, but my mind is not on the agenda.
Okay. If we have outlined the process for Friday, that's okay. That you write to make sure that both proposals arrive. Then we interrogate them a bit about their proposals, and then in the meantime we'll present to the relevant department. Sometimes we also write to a affected committee, if possible. So I think tomorrow there is need to write to any committee. We did not courage on last week Friday, so the discussions of last week Friday are not official until we adopt them here in a courageing meeting. We were finalizing two things, the South African Schools Act amendment proposals, two proposals by Mr. Winamo, as well as the Lotteries Act proposal. With the South African Schools Act, we have declined the proposed amendment. However, we have recommended that the speaker must ask the Portfolio Committee on Education, which Mr. Winamo is a member of, to check whether what the Department of Education had put before us, suggesting that the proposed amendments were sufficiently covered by the Adult Basic Education Act, as well as the current South African Schools Act, whether they are actually adequately covered. Because he was saying that the state should be obliged by law to check why children are not in school, who should be in school. That loosely translated could also mean why children are dropping out of the system. Also that the state should be obliged to check on the sources of what is causing children not to be in school, who should be in school. Was there an issue about the quality of education, Mr. Swa?
Sure, yes. Well, we did. We proposed the amendments so that make reference to the duty on government to provide in terms of learning, of educators and resources and all those things, and wanted to push that in a much more forcible way than what's currently the case. But I mean, you argue the conflict of available resources, which of course a counter argument would be the underspending by the provincial department. I think because of that whole thing, you correctly suggested that it be sent to the portfolio committee for them to look at if these things are properly covered, and of course the other things as well. And that's off, we can't really argue that we shouldn't be on the go for state to provide specific all the necessary resources. You can't argue that there's no money if there's on the ongoing underspending at the provincial department.
So that's what I'm saying. So what we basically did, we did not assent to the fact that we should proceed to the bill stage, but we have re-sent the thing to education for further consideration to satisfy themselves that there were merits in the argument and that the two acts were adequately covering what Mr. Binamo was proposing that they should be obliged to do. In terms of the Lotteries Act, having called DTI before us, and we send a very huge contingent of DDGs before us. We gave them the benefit of doubt. They accepted the correctness of the proposal, and they felt that it was a very good proposal. But we agreed with them that because they're overhauling the whole system in terms of the law and the regulations, we should rather slot those proposals into that process. And we have given them, we have requested them to report to us 6 weeks, and that before the end of this financial year, they should have completed their attention to those proposals in particular. We didn't want to wait 2 years because their whole review was going to take 2 years. So we confined them to the end of this financial year. And that considering that, they must give us 6 weekly progress reports to us and to Mr. Labaskakhna, who was the proposer, and we reserved the right to withdraw the process from them if we felt that they were stalling or they were not serious about addressing the proposal, which they had agreed that it was anyway a good proposal. It was a proposal that was dealing with the structure as well as the timing of the allocation of lottery funds to charities or to deserving charities. So, having given you the summary of last week, we request that now in a full correction meeting, we adopt the decisions of the meeting on Friday about the South African Schools Amendment proposal that should not proceed into a deal, but should be resent to Portfolio Committee of Education for further consideration. And that we acknowledge together with DTI the importance of the proposal, the need to review the structures that deal with losses, and the timing and the time lapse, because there was a problem with in terms of the time lapse for when adjudicating structure by law collapses, you know, lapses, and then the time by means of which another one should be appointed. So we agreed that the proposals were sound. That was our agreement with DTI. But we would rather, instead of tabling special amendments, we would slot into their process of review but design specific time frame of within this financial year, with 6 weeks to report, and reserving the right to withdraw that thing from them if we're not happy about their seriousness, and to proceed with the issue of the next stage, which should be the bill to amend the act, irrespective of their processes of overview altogether. You move. Yes. Which one are you moving for? For both.
For
both of us.
Yes, this is according to the explanation that you gave us.
Okay. So what we are going to do procedurally, we are going to take the minutes of proceedings of last Friday and just table them as the proceedings of this meeting adopted by this correcting meeting and attach today's attendance register to today's proceedings, which adopted the proceedings of last week, so that we are safe in terms of quorum. Now, this brings me to the end of what this meeting was all about. Firstly, we were to looking to adopt in a quorum corrective last week's proceedings. Secondly, we were to decide what should come before us on Friday. But lastly, just to inform you that I had proposed, Maina Sinu and Mr. Baker, I have said to the committee last week, the proposal of Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi, Honorable, about the head of state issue and the president's remarks on it is a kind of thing like floor crossing that should be put before the ruling party procedure. So for that reason, I have proposed that when we come back from recess, we must pay attention to it, so that although we miss the policy conference of the ruling party, we should catch the national conference of the ruling party. So I wonder if this meeting will also adopt the proposal, so that we take it like floor crossing to the ruling party for serious consideration when they do their policy overhaul, because it will need a serious consideration. Any agreement on that? Agree to? Any second? Mr. Way? Thank you. All right. Ms. Maile?
I just wanted to bring to your attention that the issue of Friday, that maybe you should also look into the committee, how many which are in the committee, as there will be the workshop of chairpersons, and which that you might not to check whether you think you will have enough.
I think we must proceed, because I must also go to that meeting. We'll come here, set, you know, just for the quorum to start, and then leave the meeting, because it's not going to be a lengthy meeting. The proposers normally present for 15 to 20 minutes before us, so we should be able to make it still for the chairpersons and committee meeting. Thank you for reminding us to consider it. I'll take Mrs. Mark and then Mrs. Rajvali. Was your hand up, ma'am? Okay.
Mrs. Rajvani? Yeah. I can see a bit of an improvement at the lunch meeting. I don't know what is the effect on me. But I think within me, I feel that the MPs are a little bit more free from the morning meetings to have a lunch meeting. Because this is what I suggested, and I see that it has been, we have corrected, in fact, for our decision. That is one, and chairperson is, I would like our secretary to at least read out the delegation for the India trip and the date that both of us have suggested, whether it will be acceptable to the delegation, because we also have our new person on the committee, which might just replace somebody that was there. But anyway, can you just put us in light with that question? Thank you.
Without doing any replacement, I don't know why I'm coming with that. Because since they are already bought in people's names, it will be a nightmare to
yeah,
change
okay,
those.
Fine. Okay.
And also the S&T payments, it will be just an administrative nightmare. Mm. So I propose that we should not change the delegation.
Okay.
Mr. Swart?
Not on the trip, just in terms of next Friday's meeting, are we going to deal with the same two proposals that we're dealing this Friday? I'd just like to know in advance, you know, at the end of it, said people are planning to tickets to buy back the constituency, but at least I can tell these two members that we'll also deal with them next week. Is that the case?
Yes. That's
it's a committee week.
Any other matters? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mchulu, for coming with us.
Yes,
okay. But sign that the president register for us. Okay, thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Fine. If you have forgotten, I can
remind you.
Go ahead.
Use the speaker.
We've got the plan to
Mr. Mchudulu, Mr. Agbali, Mr. Baker, and Mr. Mahwani. Thank
you.
Hello, you're going?
Which hotel are we staying in?
The South African High Commission is the one that's arranging.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to say that because we were struggling with Quorum, we almost unilaterally decided on the delegation, but took this before the at that time when we decided on the delegation. Those members were the most consistent on the team, and others were not here. Mrs. Maya, for instance, made a long-standing apology because she had lapses with her other
commitments.
But after that, she was also on kind of compassionate leave where she was having the birth of a grandchild or grandchild.
Oh, thank you. Congratulations.
But the next trip that I think we must plan for, immediately when we come back, I would propose that a total new friend, kind of
fair enough,
to give everybody a chance to understand.
To go to China.
Yeah. Okay. Just that our passport needs renewal.
Yes.
Our visa.
No, visa. Passport is okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, dear.
Mr. Mogunishi, before you go.